upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's go on an adventure. Let's go on it together. Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, ba, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, where we feature and spotlight local musicians from all genres, from all over New England. And I'm joined today by my pal, Christopher Guerra. That was a good
roll. That was a good roll. Yeah, that was like butter. It's on a roll. Hey guys.
Hey guys,
thanks for tuning in. Please excuse me for my voice. I have that.
He's finally hitting puberty.
It's actually the reverse, because I'm like, I got this like peppermint Patty voice. I'm like, hey Chuck, you're holding my hand, Chuck. Like, okay guys. So I don't know. You know, the last episode I was like coughing, and I was having a hard time with it. Well, I got the full blown flu.
Yeah, and yeah. Sharing is caring, because then I got the flu too.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how you know we're brother sister.
Yeah, so, no, please, like a good person, stay over there.
Right.
Yeah. however, while I was recovering from the flu, I was having a lot of fever dreams, and you know, I had a lot of time rotting in my bed because it was actually like I was on vacation in my house, because nobody wanted me around and nobody wanted me to leave my room. Like, if I went to the bathroom, I got chased back to my room with a can of Lysol.
If you need time alone, just fake the plague.
So I had a lot of time to, you know, do doom scrolling on Facebook, and I went down a rabbit hole like no other.
Oh.
So I saw this one reel. It was like, when you get a drummer on Temu, and it was Alan Jackson. I think they were performing at like a country music awards, and at the time they wanted them to have everything pre-recorded and like lip sync and pretend to do their instruments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the drummer is literally sitting there, like, this is the thing that you can Google. He has no drumsticks and he's just like air drumming going off. And then after that, I started, you know, deep diving into the comments, and people started bringing up all sorts of other things that musicians did in protests when they were asked to, you know, lip sync and live record. And oh my God, it is gold. I was like, I need to share the stuff that I saw with you.
Okay.
So Iron Maiden decided to take off their instruments and switch instruments and pretend like they were playing, you know, like throughout their entire song. That was one. The Mamas and the Papas. Michelle Phillips decided to start eating a banana.
I ain't even trying.
Like, that was their way of protesting. Like, they are making us do this and we can't express our art.
Yeah. So,
but it's quite the rabbit hole to go down, for sure. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's why I love music and musicians, because they just have an awesome sense of humor.
And the creativity clearly stems beyond just what they can do lyrically and, you know, playing instruments. Like, I would have never thought to be like, yeah, let me just sit here and eat this banana to really show you that I'm not singing. Or, you know, switch instruments in the middle of things.
Like that whole ventriloquist thing where they like started drinking water and like, I'm still talking. Oh, See, I haven't practiced that move.
There was actual liquid in there.
It's okay. It'll dry.
That's the reason why there's caution hot liquids in on that cup.
Yeah. You know, if you could count the number of times I've accidentally burned myself on a daily basis, you need more than 10 fingers. So, telling you. But anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in, by the way. You know, we have so much fun doing these things. And we have an awesome show prepared for you today.
We have kind of another first.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So the musician that we have on today is... It is a sound like we have never had on the show before.
Right.
Totally different. So he did not perform live. However, it was really cool to, we're going to pipe in his songs, but really deep dive behind the music and get into it that way. So that's kind of another show first for us.
I really enjoyed that too, because being able to break down the process of creating the song in that way, it was really interesting and cool to see, because I already hear about, because you usually don't get those stories that are associated with the song. So
right,
you know, it was bringing back some behind the music vibes.
Yeah.
And
not only that, his sound, it's so nostalgic, especially growing up in like the early 2000s and hearing music from back then. So like you'll definitely understand what we're saying for that.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of the genre.
Oh, yeah. So he's delivering a sound that we have never brought to the show before. So I'm really excited to debut this.
Me too. Yep. So let's get into it, guys. Nikki, if you should, if you should.
I will.
Well, there you go. Aunt, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest?
All right, let's get into it. Today in studio, we are joined by Dave Carlin, a.k.a. Hazel Bloom, a stylistically unique alternative pop rock artist whose music has been described as having an infectious sound that evokes all emotions. Music is his way of creating a community where everyone feels welcomed, has a place to belong, and feels at home. The feel-good energy behind his music brings people of all backgrounds together and makes them feel like old friends. Taking pride in never losing sight of his youth and dreams, Hazel Bloom embodies nostalgia and represents a generation that refuses to grow up. Through his music, he is creating a community of people who love themselves for who they are and feel comfortable in their own skin. As a native of Worcester, Massachusetts, Hazel Bloom has an unwavering commitment to making people feel welcome, as he wants his music to convey that message as well. Welcome to the studio, Hazel.
Hey.
That was beautiful. Beautiful intro.
Thank you. I had a little help from a friend.
It was good.
No, thanks for coming down, man.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, honestly.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you here. Yeah, from all the way up from Worcester.
Worcester. Whatever you want to say.
Wash your sister.
Wash your sister. Oh, man. Were you born and raised in the Worcester area, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I was born in Worcester. I grew up, like, my whole teen, adolescence life out in Charlton, Massachusetts. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like,
yeah.
Central.
Right.
Yeah, and then grew up there. Short story, I moved to L.A. for a bit, and now I'm back in Worcester, so now.
Wow. Okay, cool. So, did early on, were you part of the music scene?
Yeah, I was. So, I grew up, like, I first heard, like, Yellow Card, and I was like,
Yeah,
I want to do stuff like this. So, like, me and my younger friends, high school friends at, like, 13, started making a band. We played, like, the old Tammany Hall back when it was a thing.
Yeah.
That was, like, 7th, 8th grade, I think.
And
ever since then, we've just spun, like, bands from there all the time until now.
Nice.
So I've just been doing music since then, and that's what I love doing, so trying to keep doing it.
Sweet. Now you've must have seen quite the change in the Worcester music community so far, huh?
Yeah.
Worcester, for the folks out there that don't know, beautiful city west of Boston. And they have some terrific venues out there. They have the Palladium.
Yeah.
Great place. It's like the Mecca for, like, you know, rock and roll and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of other places around there too as well that have, either have come and gone or are still around. But
Off the Rails is there. That's another great like country music venue. Yep. Yeah, they're awesome.
They're killing it. They're like relatively new. They're killing it. I've been there a few times and it's sick in there.
Yeah, they're getting some great acts in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably, honestly, if I had to compare it to anything, I think it's going to be like, you know, the GOAT at Hampton Beach, and there's one in Manchester and Portsmouth. That's going to kind of, I feel like, be like the GOAT of Worcester.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's definitely doing a good thing for the community, for the music community over there. And now that the Palladium has like the outdoor stadium series now.
Yes.
They're doing a lot.
It's sick. I saw, I was at an EDM festival. It was like outdoors and then the lower level at the Palladium this past year. And actually, it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel that being a musician in the Worcester area helps you, or does it hinder you as far as getting your music out there? Do you feel like you're like there's a lot of competition out there, or?
I think it's great. Well, because personally, I love Worcester now. Like growing up, I wasn't really into it. I feel like I needed to move somewhere, like a city, to be like respected and get the opportunities. But now that like I'm getting older, I'm like, it doesn't matter where you are. No one cares.
Right.
And like I moved to LA and it's just completely oversaturated.
Oh,
so it's harder to get your name out there, even though there's a bigger community out there. But
right.
I started to be like, yeah, I might as well go back home to visit family, obviously. And I was like, there's less competition here. So I would rather be like one of the biggest in my hometown than be like almost non-existent in like LA or Boston.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, crazy how that story, that's a similar story to a lot of other people who will leave our area and go to like Atlanta or Nashville, you know, LA, and like they try to get their stuff out there. And it's just like really challenging because they're having to really compete.
Yeah. But
I also feel like now the age of the internet and everything is at your fingertips and one button and you can push something to the other side of the world. Like, you really don't have, you can be anywhere now and get yourself out there.
Exactly. Like that's kind of been like my main like marketing tactic, is to mostly just go straight like online, Instagram and like ads. Cause like you're reaching a far more vast community of people than if like going on tour. Like,
sure,
you're making, there's so much cost that goes into that. You could just do the same. I eventually want to tour, obviously. That's the main goal. But until I can like financially get that, I feel like I'm like waiting.
There's so many artists now too that will just randomly like do pop-ups on like Twitch, and you know, they'll just say to their followers on, you know, social media, going live now, you know, follow us on Twitch, and we'll do like pop-up shows, you know, and it's basically, you know, you don't have to go on tour anymore. You have that such a global outreach like that, you know, and I love, like, I know once this airs, it'll be past Super Bowl time. Cody Band is doing their own halftime show.
And they're gonna stream it.
Yeah, they're like, you don't like the artist performing on the halftime show? We're doing our own. Like, how cool is that?
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Right. And so it's definitely a different age out there now with music, and you know, I've seen that you have quite the library out there of songs and music. It's incredible. Great stuff.
Dude, thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Let's dive in a little bit into that. When did you start recording your music? Was that something that you had done professionally, or was that something that you learned to do on your own?
So I started, well, with like my Hazel Bloom music, I started like professionally. I work with like a producer in Connecticut.
Oh, nice.
And that's just basically how I started. I was trying to like figure out my sound and all that. And then when I moved to LA, I couldn't really work with him a lot. And the producers out there were a little out of my price range. So I officially couldn't do it. So that's when I like started working and figuring out how to do it myself. So I did like 20-ish songs on my own.
Wow.
And then that was my big goal for last year. I wanted to release a song every 2 weeks.
Nice.
just to like keep it in front of fan spaces.
Keep it relevant.
Yeah. So that was my main goal last year. I did it. I released like 25 songs. That's why there's like so much out right now, which is what I like.
Yeah.
I figure you build your catalog. It's always going to stay there. People are always going to like check it out.
Right.
So, and like, it's a whole like whirlwind of a story that I can get into, but I don't know. I don't want to get too far into it if it's not in.
Yeah, no, go ahead. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
This is all about you. Yeah.
So like, yeah, I was like, I follow like, they're not like marketing people for music. They're like artists themselves, but they've done it successfully themselves. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Nick D or Russ. Nick D is like big on like TikTok.
Yeah.
He has his own like other show, but
Chris is the TikToker.
I know. That's why I'm like that name sounds familiar.
You probably see him around with like Connor Price.
Yeah.
He's a huge one. But they like, he just said, just keep posting like if you can weekly, if not monthly, as much as you can to stay relevant in front of people.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of liked how he explained it. It's like, you can have 1,000 at bats. You're not going to hit every ball. You're not going to get a home run every time. You'll have a base hit here and there. And like, what he means by that is like the popularity and how many streams and listens it gets to.
Right.
That's if you're going to make a living, like solely off streaming, forget like merch sales or anything like that. You need like the stream. So like, you can wait like years to put out like a hit song and wait on that, or you can just keep releasing songs and eventually like you'll have 5 songs that add up to 1 hit song.
Yep.
So that's kind of what my mindset was back then, and that's kind of what I'm still continuing now. So now I have a big catalog. If I do have like a video that does well, people are going to check out that song and see that I have more of a catalog and listen to that.
Sure.
So that was my whole mind process behind releasing a bunch last year.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the formula these days, is just, you know, releasing consistency, trying to break through those feeds on the social media, try to get your stuff on seen or heard, and you just have to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking at your Spotify Wrapped, which is very impressive, I have to say. I mean, clearly it's working. I mean, for some stats for the folks at home, I mean, 1.7 million streams, 310,000 listeners, 74,000 hours, and hit 171 countries.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey.
That's awesome.
Pat yourself on the back, man. Yeah, like, that's awesome.
It's a, like, I'm very hard on myself. I feel like too hard on myself because, like, I don't know why. I feel like I should be doing more and I'm not as good as how I should be. But sometimes you got to step back and be like,
the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like to remind myself, like, I feel like everyone says this, or I've heard it somewhere, like, make 5 years. 5 year ago, your person proud or whatever.
Yeah,
I probably butchered that saying, but
my dad says something very similar. He's a businessman, and he always, I mean, I guess it applies kind of universally. Where he's like, the first 2 years are the hardest. Once you hit 5, you're golden.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's a level of commitment. You know, when you're creating music, it's, you know, part of it is a lot of marketing. Part of it is a lot of, consistency, and then the rest of it is, it's something that you enjoy doing, you know, and as long as you have that passion, love, and to create the music, you keep at it, man. Eventually, things are gonna happen, you know.
That's the key I've like found out through life. Like, you gotta stick to like what you enjoy and something that you don't care if you ever make a living off of. That's where you're going to find like your happiness.
That's right.
So like, yeah, I heard like Seth Rogen say that one time, because he wasn't always a famous actor.
Right.
And he was like, just keep doing it. Maybe you'll get lucky one day, but if you keep going at it, something's going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You know, you never know. And it's wild that music scene right now, the fact that you have these people that are, you know, musicians that are using their iPhones and record
recording in their cars,
recording in the cars or wherever, and then all of a sudden they're getting 52 million plays or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like that didn't really exist 10-15 years ago. I mean, you had to, you know, really be marketable to a record label.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
that or like there wasn't even really that much software wise available. You know, you have what, GarageBand?
Yeah.
That was like basically the big one. Other than that, like you had to go to a studio.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And nowadays it's crazy because like you have musicians out there that are producing their own music and mastering it all.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's incredible. You know, I mean, not only are you having to come up with lyrics, that part, to me at least, it seems like such a challenge. But then to, you know, figure all the mastering and, you know, it's kind of cool because it gives you a lot more control over the what kind of music content that you're putting out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, the lyrics. Do you have a process behind your songwriting?
I feel like it's different every time. Like, specifically, like, I'll generally start with the instrumental songs. I'll work with my producer. Like, we usually start off just, like, listening to a playlist of songs that I like, that I'm, like, digging the past month or so. We'll go through there, point out, like, different parts of the song that I thought were, like, sick or I enjoyed.
Oh, nice.
And then we'll kind of just, like, go and start writing, start with like a guitar riff or something and build it off from there.
Very cool. And okay.
So we start with mostly like the shell of the song first. And then once you get there, I just take it and start writing lyrics. My lyric writing process is like all over the place. Like,
you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably a common thing that like I just sit there sometimes, just listen to it, mumble like melodies in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I never start with like a concrete idea, like I want to write about this, I want to write about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of mumble words, and like at some point, like I'll hear a line, I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll just keep going with that, and it turns into an idea of like what it's about and all that. So it's like very unorthodox instead of just sitting down and planning. Like I feel like,
hey, whatever works.
A lot of people do, but
whatever works for you.
Yeah.
So you do have that one song, Balance and Composure. How did that come to be a thing?
So that is that was an extension. So my first or second album, it's called like Forgotten Youth and Dusted Frames. And that was like a whole album I wrote inspired by like some of my favorite bands I listened to growing up. So like every song on that album is a band name that I love.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I just incorporated like either song names from the album or how it made me feel in the moment or like specific like little lyrics that I enjoyed from those songs and just kind of made it all into my own song and encapsulated how I felt like at that time of listening to it back in the day. So that was like a similar idea that I did with Balance and Composure. Because that's, like, one of my favorite bands right now.
Yeah.
And I kind of wrote it about that. It's about their album, The Things We Think We Were Missing.
Oh, nice.
Just that. Like, it's not about, like, I love the album, but it was about that title that, like,
really, like, what it meant to you.
Me. Yeah. So, like, that's how I went about writing that song. It's about, like, being told to do something, be something, act a certain way. You can't do this. You can't be a full-time musician. You need a real job. And it was just about me like getting sick of hearing that.
Sure.
So I just like, it's essentially about that. Like stop listening to all these people that don't know anything about your life really.
Yeah.
Take a chance, do what you love to do. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When I was, you know, when I first heard that song, I was like, wow, these lyrics are so relatable. So yeah.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Nailed it.
You want to get into studio first. We're gonna pump in some music.
So yeah, let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then we can groove.
I can like talk over it too if you want.
Yeah.
To explain it.
I don't feel I'm I'm missing out on anything. Never been the one to follow what they want. Gotta have kids, get married by 23. Gotta buy a house, be in debt till I'm 70. All they talk about is the land and their equity.
I feel like that was something I always heard in my life. Like, in regards to like age, like,
you had a timeline.
Yeah, like, not necessarily that people were telling me, like, I need this stuff by that, but, like, I feel like I had it implanted in my mind, like, yo, I'm getting older. I feel like I should have myself more put together by now. Like,
yeah.
I see all these people from high school. They have, like, their jobs, houses, kids. You know, it's like, everyone's process is different. You don't need to have all these things at once, so, like, stop believing everything you see on like Instagram or social media.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's essentially like what it's really about.
I'm exhausted. I like that part a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I love like when people do those.
Yeah.
Little talking ad lib type things.
So like nostalgic sounding too, like the background music.
That's like kind of like what I want like my whole theme to be, like,
yeah,
kind of nostalgic but new age, because like I was saying before, I grew up on like,
yeah,
early 2000s music, like Yellow Card, Goo Goo Dolls.
I've been on like a wicked Yellow Card kick too. Yeah. It's so funny you say that. Dude. I saw Avril Lavigne in Simple Plan over the summer.
Oh, yeah. That's so
You want a way to make me feel old. They were singing I'm Just a Kid. And yes. At the end goes, that came out 22 years ago. And I went, yep. Son of a bitch, I was in middle school 22 years
yes.
ago. Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
Well, that was great. The now, the music itself, did you play all the instruments or how did that go?
I actually did not.
Okay.
I work with my like producer and I'm like I don't feel like I'm the best writer. So like I like to work with someone who like knows better than me than okay. I could write. So
yeah, yeah.
Like I'll write some of my stuff, but I like working with him because he like knows my personality by
yeah.
now and he knows like what I'm feeling. And we kind of went down there. It was like the same process. I showed him a few songs. I think this one we actually wrote. I was listening to like Third Eye Blind a lot.
Ooh, another
so,
good one.
Yeah, so I was like, I want some like hard hitting guitars. I want a cool, like different sounding song, but still feels nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So we kind of just start with like a few riffs and then we kind of just go from there. I'm like, I like this here. I like that there. I think it needs like a drop right here. And we kind of just like both work together to get the bass line out there.
That's a cool collaboration.
Isn't that process so awesome though? Like, you know, because we've had the opportunity to work in a recording studio with Route 2 Revolution, and watching the process was just as fascinating as, you know, hearing the end result.
Yeah.
If not more, because like, you know, it was a collaboration. It wasn't just like one person's, you know, steering the ship. It was like, hey, you know, like you said, wouldn't it be cool if we add this or we tweak that? And, you know, it definitely adds to the composition of the song. In the end, you get something that's just, you know, really sharp. Like, that sounds great, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs.
And, like, you said, like, Yellow Card and Third Eye Blind, like, there were a lot of big influences. But, like, I don't know, what are some of your other big musical influences? Because, honestly, like, that just reminded me so much of growing up music that I listened
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
It was so nostalgic.
I've, like, so many different influences from like different, not decades, but like different years of my life.
Sure.
But like
different chapters.
Yeah. Different chapters. But like I guess for the music now that I'm writing, it's going to be a lot of like Yellow Card, Third Eye Blind, even Matchbox 20.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Taking Back Sunday. What else is there? I love Bon Iver a lot.
Ooh,
even though like I just love his writing and lyricism.
Sure. So
that's really sticks out to me a lot.
I got a lot of like Fall Out Boy out of it too.
Yeah, I love Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
Like my mind like always goes blank when I'm like put on spot. There's so many bands that I
dare say Paramore?
Paramore. I love Paramore. Oh, yeah. Like Sum 41.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you hear they just played their last show ever last night in Canada? Oh,
that's wild.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're gone.
When I saw them, I think I was like 12 and I was in Canada. Yeah. I was in Quebec, Canada, and I saw them at a zoo. Actually, they were playing at a place called Park Safari.
Oh, okay.
So when I learned last night that they've played their final show, I was like, ooh, that kind of hurt a little.
Oh, it was. I remember at Warped Tour when they still had it at Mansfield.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like they played the Dome.
Yeah.
And they opened with a Fat Lip. And like,
I must have went nuts.
It was hilarious because it was like, so they had like the double sides of the stage back then and they split like the Dome. So one person plays and then right when they're done, the next band can start. So the band on the left side was like an acoustic act.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was still like all like the mellow people just hanging out after the acoustic show.
Oh no.
And then Fat Lip starts playing and like a huge brawl just starts happening. And everyone just got like
caught
absolutely
up.
Kicked in like that in the mosh pit.
That's hilarious.
But that was an amazing show.
I love that they're bringing back Warped Tour too. Yeah, honestly, yeah,
I love it too. Do that and like, there's so many bands I can think of, like Good Charlotte. I love them.
I saw them at the Paradise Rock Club about 8 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing!
I'm like, 12-year-old me is like patting me on the back for making this happen. Yeah, if that's a weird venue, like it's a cool nostalgic venue, but that's a weird place. Like their VIP, is upstairs in the mezzanine, and it's literally like. They look like hockey penalty boxes made out of plywood. Like, Nicole Richie was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was literally just talking to her over this little half wall. Like, there was no security or, actual VIP. Like, it was cool. But, I can definitely hear Good Charlotte through your music as well.
All that. Like, I have so many influences. It's unreal.
But it triggers the nostalgia of the brain so much, you know, for people our age anyways, who like grew up on this.
I love hearing that because like, I don't know if I necessarily hear it myself because I don't know if I'm just...
Because you're
like,
the brainchild behind it.
I'm too hard on it. So like, but like everyone on like Instagram, they'll just comment. They're like, wow, this sounds nostalgic and like old Simple Plan. I'm like,
yes,
that's sick.
Yeah, that just unlocked a thing in my brain.
Yeah, that's sick.
That's awesome. The obviously your music has definitely had drawn in a lot of influences. But how would you say that or how would you describe your sound and style? Is it like something that's been consistent all the way through, or is it like does that jump over from place to place?
Oh, it's been like a whole like whirlwind. Because like I started Hazel Bloom, I think it was like 2017. And like at that point in my life, that's right. That's why I was saying I have a bunch of different chapters there. I was listening to like Volcano Choir, Bon Iver. So it was
It
was very like acoustic, soft. Felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like the first album I ever put out was like soft acoustic, like the still overall theme of like my lyrics are all the same, but like, the vibe that I get is changed so much because like I went from that, then I went to my first EP that I put out and it was more like electronic pop, kind of like I don't know if you know like Black Bear or Quinn 92.
Yep.
Oh yeah,
seen Black Bear too.
I loved them for so many years. I still love them, but that's the music I was inspired by then, so I wrote it.
Sure.
And then it's starting now back to evolve back to like my roots, I feel like.
Oh,
because like I feel like I liked the music that I put out back then, but it just didn't feel like authentic to me.
Okay.
But it was that chapter of your life though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was my chapter of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how you were feeling at the time. And that you projected that through your music.
Yeah. And now, like, I listen back to onto it now, and I'm like, I love it, but it doesn't feel like me anymore. And now I feel like I'm going back full circle. I'm going back to, like, not the emo, but, like, the pop punk, pop rock stage mm-hmm. of, like, the nostalgic Simple Plan, all that.
You know, as I say, it was never a phase.
Exactly. It was never a phase.
Right.
And it's like, when I hear, like, this song, like, I think there's a question that you're going to ask later that I have a story for. It, like, brings me back to, like, when I was a kid, and it makes me feel, like, euphoric.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at now. I'm like, this is the music I've, like, been wanting to write, and that's where I'm going forward now. So, like, that song, Balancing Composure, is more towards the type of music I'm going towards.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's been all over the place so far. You got to try everything once, they say.
Sure, definitely.
See what sticks.
Yeah. And it's great, too, just to see that evolution and have it come back full, see it come back full circle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then to also get the responses that you're getting from your fan base.
Yeah.
To see what they're connecting to. And, you know, that genre of music is kind of faded a little bit, I think, over the years.
Yeah. But I think it's honestly, I feel like it's starting to make a comeback. Like, cause you have Warped Tour coming back, you know, Simple Plan and Avril Lavigne are going on tour. Even Boston Calling this year has Avril Lavigne coming on, and I think Simple Plan is going on there as well, or Fall Out Boy or somebody along that genre too. So it's definitely, it's all making a comeback. Everyone's resurfacing.
Well, and that's where I was going to go with it. It was that now we're seeing this resurgence of that
even
genre.
Creed.
I know, right? Seriously. Yes. Yeah. There's, I forget which song it was. One of their songs hit the top charts again.
Oh, I think it was Higher.
Higher?
Was it Higher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I think the timing for you is couldn't be any more perfect. The fact that we're now seeing that music come back and then seeing your take on it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I really like, because I like hearing like old, like not old, but like older songs I used to listen to. And then I hear like that line that, like, I remember back in the day that was, like, really influential to me at that time. And that very cool to listen back on that, because, like, then I'm, like, inspired to write a new song that comes out that sounds like that, but it's a new piece of art, which is cool.
It, like, unlocks something in your brain. Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell us about your song, I Wonder?
Oh, that one's a cool... That's on a cool project I'm working on, actually.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so, like... It's a whole story. I'll try to keep it somewhat short. Like, me and, like, my best friend were, like, out getting drinks at a bar in New York. We were on, like, a work event. And I don't know how this came up, but he said something, like, he mentioned something about AOL. Like,
oh, okay.
AOL? Yeah.
Like the AIM screen name days?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes. And he's like, then he's like, you should make some songs. You should make a project called AOL Love Songs.
And you I'm like the doors opening and closing and stuff. And
it's funny. I have that in like my songs I haven't released yet for that project.
That's awesome.
I have like the door opening, close. I have like in one of the next songs, but not I Wonder. There's this scene in Stranger Things where I don't know if you've seen it.
Love Stranger Things.
I do too.
It's on I don't remember what episode it is, but it's when Mike is on the phone talking to Elle and his mom is listening on the other side and he just yells, "Mom, get off the fucking phone." So I have that in the end of one of my songs.
That's so cool.
I thought that fit so well. Cause like back in like 2006, 2007, whatever it was, I would just sit on AOL and like, you'd sit there, talk to your crushes or whatever.
Yeah.
Random like chat rooms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Talking to strangers. Yeah.
And like you take up the DSL. You wouldn't, they would like yell at you to get off that cause they need the internet.
Yeah.
How about the noise it used to make?
I have that in that song too.
That is
right
so
next
cool.
to like a break.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what's
it's so sweet.
It's so funny you bring up Stranger Things because I was like 3 days ago years old when I learned that there was an Upside Down Lego set.
Oh, I didn't know
and,
that.
Oh my God. And I Googled it and it's fantastic.
That's so
and
cool.
And if I ever have an extra $500 laying around, I know what to buy.
That's so cool. I love that.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I wonder, I didn't even speak about that song yet. But it is in that realm of AOL love songs. I think it's going to be one of the songs on that little project, but this one is about like, I might have to listen. I don't even remember the lyrics.
We can get into it if you want and discuss
yeah,
after.
Oh, yeah.
Fire
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, fire let's fire it. This thing up.
Heaven help me, I think I'm in over my head. I still put on the afraid to forget. But at 16 you think you know what love is. Remember waking up from the sun in my eyes when we slept on the beach to see the sunrise. Cause I wasn't allowed to sleep at your house. I wonder where you are now. Never got to make it out.
So that was awesome. Could you go ahead and give me a little bit of more into
Let's dive into the music?
Yeah, for
sure. Yeah, I wonder. I think that's going to be the last one on my project for AOL Love Songs, because now that I'm hearing it, it was like the remembrance of starting. Well, it's kind of the end of the story by now. So the whole story was you're in high school. You're talking to your crush on AOL.
Oh, yeah.
You go through this whole thing. You date. You feel like they're, like, the one.
Mm-hmm.
You're young and naive. You think they're the one. So then it moves through the story where they break up. And this song is essentially about wondering if you made the wrong mistake, you met at the wrong time, all those things that cross your mind at that young age after, like, a significant breakup. So, like, if you're dating someone for, like, a year or two, that's like, I feel like that's like a quarter of your life when you're back in like 14. So that's huge significance.
Also trigger the away messages of the cryptic.
Yes.
You know,
I forgot about those
song lyrics. Cause you're having a heartbreak meltdown.
Yes. You have those little cryptic, you post your song lyric away message.
Yeah.
And something it's like every other letter is uppercase.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many memories unlocked.
I think the main story is growing up, realizing, like, say it's like 10 years later, you're wondering where that person is right now. Like,
yes.
You're wondering, like, we were supposed, you had like big dreams, or at least I did. It was mostly running from my perspective. Like, I wanted to move out of Massachusetts so bad when I was younger. I did it, and saying that you never, I wonder if they never moved out, because it was always like our like significant goal to move out together.
Yeah.
And saying like essentially what the lyrics are saying, I couldn't leave this town without you. So it's like stuck in your hometown waiting for them, hoping they come back and you can reconnect essentially.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That has a way deeper meaning now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, you know, speaking of dreams, do you have now, because like your music is just really good, nostalgic in that way, and I'm just picturing it out there live performance and just absolutely hyping up the crowds. Do you have any goals as far as you know, getting out of the studio and getting out there live?
Oh, for sure. That is like my main goal for like 2025. So to find people who like obviously this music and want to be in a band and play out live, because that's always been the goal. I want to be a touring artist.
Yeah.
But I want to go play out. Like, that's another story I'm going to come back to later. But
yeah,
like there's nothing like, I used to play shows all the time with my elder bands, and there was like nothing more more euphoric to me. Like, yeah. It just like,
yeah,
unlocks something in me that fulfills,
yeah,
like my whole life when I like play live and there's people out there jamming and singing your songs, yes, that you wrote back to you.
Ah, that's
like my only goal. Like,
well, we're gonna
pretty much,
we're gonna manifest it for you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Yes. We are gonna make that happen, guys. Telling you, gotta hook up with my buddy Hazel here. We're gonna make this band happen.
Hell yeah.
You know what's funny too is like we were talking before about like all the content creation and all that stuff, and I know you have that one video on like your Facebook where you're like, I don't want to work for the band anymore, make this happen for me.
Oh yes, yes.
With your CDs.
Yep.
I cracked up on that.
Yep. I don't want to sit here just wasting my life away. I want to
be on tour.
I want to tour, but I don't want to be in a critical debt as well.
Right.
So yeah
that's the main point.
And that's the dream. That's really the dream, is to do this full time.
And that's scary, honestly.
It's scary.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very scary, but like, I feel like I'm starting now to get into like a milestone moment where I'm like, I'm almost ready to take that step. Not financially, but like I'm getting all the cards together, and I think I'm in a good spot I can start keep going further right now.
That is awesome.
So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, you will never know what's possible until you take that dive.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I hear it all the time. You have to take risks to make it. But like, I'm kind of the person to take like calculated risks. I don't want to bankrupt myself and have to dig myself out of a hole and waste all this extra time where I could have been putting out new music and all that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're handling it really well. I mean, you've, like I said, you have amassed such an awesome library, and it's such great quality, and it's getting great feedback like on the platforms, especially Spotify, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spotify has been big for me, and I appreciate that so much. Like, I don't know who's listening, because
people in 171 countries, that's who.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's my other goal, why I want to tour, because I want to be like personal with these people that are giving me a second of their time to like listen to my art. I just think that's a wild concept, that because like I'm just a small dude from a small town in Charlton, Massachusetts, where nothing happens. So
honestly, I love your strategy too, of you're like, sell me $5 to cover shipping and I'll give you a signed CD and like a note. And yeah,
that's been a big thing for me like this year, because now I'm starting to scale that a lot. Like, I don't really make money off it. It's usually like break even, which that's cool with me. If I was break even, it's just like free advertising. So
right.
And you're making it more personal too.
Yes, that's
you're, my you whole, actually are connecting with the people.
Yes, that's my whole goal behind it, because I have my email list where I send it out to people, and I think it's so sick because a lot of them will actually respond personally with like their thoughts. Like,
oh, hey, that is cool.
This song really means a lot to me. This got me through a breakup. It got me through like something like that.
Wow.
And like, that's really why I like to do this, to connect people and like help to let them know they're not alone.
Yeah.
Cause
like, I have like this little, I made like a little membership for people to,
I
like,
saw that
out.
Like a little community.
Yeah. Like, it's not big. It's not like an intense thing that I put a lot of work into, but I want to like connect more deeply with people and know like their stories as well.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's so cliche, but music really does bring everyone together.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I love that so much. And I mean, so you've sent, you know, you're like, oh, I'll send out a CD. What's like the coolest place that you've like, have you sent them out like all over, or like, is there any place that sticks out? You're like, wow, I never thought I'd be sending a CD out here.
I would only do United States right now, just simply
international's tricky.
The shipping, it's gonna be like $23 to ship to like Australia, so like,
yeah,
I understand, like, I offered that, but
yeah,
no one's gonna pay like $23 for shipping for like a CD. But
yeah,
I like made my first sale the other day to like what was it, I think it was London.
Wow.
And I'm like,
oh wow,
I never thought like, it's wild to me that people are even buying, like, my merch and art. Like, that's still, like...
Your merch is pretty cool, by the way.
It is.
Thank you. My wife makes it all.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah, it's wild to me that someone would pay in a completely different country where I have no idea, like, I barely know their name besides the shipping label. I'm like, that's just wild to me.
That's amazing. Yeah. Look at you. You're actually, like... You're achieving it. You're doing it, you know? Isn't that the goal?
Yeah.
Is to get out there and connect with people all over, and here it is. It's happening.
Like, I love it. Like, the next goal, like I said earlier, was I want to start playing shows and meeting people in person.
Yeah.
But
go to the merch table after and meet people. Yeah.
But like, I'm working on, it's cool to see it without having that opportunity right now to do it through merch, where I send them, like, I send everyone like a personalized handwritten note with it. So it's a little more personable for everyone.
Yeah,
but
that's cool.
It's been a very cool milestone for me doing that this year. It's been like growing a lot.
That's so awesome. Like that. And that's like the one of the really cool things about our industry, music industry nowadays, is like, it doesn't know borders.
Yeah,
you know, like our music can just clear through across the globe and affect people that we have. Would it have otherwise not had any connection to?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really cool. That's really amazing. That's why I think, too, once you really get out there and start performing live, I think you're going to also make those connections in person.
Yes.
And, you know, that's like a whole nother level right there.
I also think it speaks volumes, too, just the fact that you are so committed to committing, you know, to meeting people and connecting with people, and, like, just being humble goes so far. Like, it goes such a long way of people respect an artist that's more humble and not like, I'm too big to, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's huge.
That's like my, I guess, branding, because that's who I am.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole other tangent, but like, I see.
No matter how big I get, I'm still like, I'm humble.
Yeah, I'm still like this random guy from whatever. Like,
yeah.
I'm no better than you. We're the same people.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that gets me like
such a long way though.
It gets me like triggered when I see like people on like TikTok where they have to like make acts and make it their personality, because the personality is what's going to stick in people's minds, and like they do it. I get why they're doing it, and it's just something that I physically like can't get myself to do, because it's not who I am. I understand like if I did that, I could probably be a lot farther faster, but like, that's just not...
You're not staying true to you.
Yeah, that's not what I am, so...
Yeah, and that's really a good quality to have, to be authentic. Because I feel like, too, I'm right there with you. There's such little authenticity out there with people. You know, people are creating personalities for brands. And so everybody's like, oh, that's the person they are. Yeah. And then you find out, oh, it's not the person they are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I love the fact that you have somebody like Zach Bryan that's playing sold out stadium shows, but whenever he's in like Brooklyn, New York, he'll just pop into like a random hole in the wall bar and start jamming out. And it's like, I don't care how big I get. Like, this is what I like doing. I like connecting with the people and just, you know, going out and living life. Like I'm a nobody, you know? And like that goes such a long way.
That's what I personally love. And that's what I plan to do, honestly.
That's awesome.
I love that so much.
And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
In 2025, be on the lookout for Derek D. Acoustic's upcoming album, Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival. Throughout the year, Derek will be releasing several singles, leading up to the full album release, which will include a few extra tunes just for you. Ashes to Acoustics features live acoustic covers performed at open mics at the Otter River Pub, recorded by Soundbites, Events, and Open Mics. You'll find them on all streaming platforms, so make sure you follow Derek at Derek D. Acoustic to stay updated on these releases. Enjoy Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival in 2025 and beyond.
And now back to our show. So, want to get back into another song here. This one is called Hallucinogens. Do you want to get fire that one up?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Sometimes I have nightmares that I let you back into my life. Just to fuck with my head again, cause I'm too afraid of loneliness. I guess New England's got a way of making you tougher than the December cold or the worst days you've been through. I don't show.
Awesome. Those are really powerful lyrics.
Yeah.
It's
about a very powerful event in my life. So
yeah.
This one is like one of my favorite songs I've ever made.
I was going to ask, I'm like, was this based off of, because I know a songwriter, sometimes they when they write, they either write from a really personal space or they just make up stuff.
Yeah.
But this sounded like it was like from a personal space.
Yeah. I generally try to make everything about like my personal life or relatable because that's what I like to hear in music.
Yeah.
So it's usually about that. But it always comes down to like relatable about my life somehow. Even if I don't have like a topic I want to write about, it finds its way back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. This one, I hope I can talk about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
All right.
So we are not censored by the FCC or anything. So we are an open platform. Yeah,
excellent. Absolutely. Excellent. So this one, it's like a wild story. This one is about, I remember this like vividly. It's about one day. So me and my friends back in college, it was like Patriots or President's Day. We had the day off from college.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, my friends were like, oh, we should take a tab of acid. I'm like, and me back, I was 18 at the time. I'm like, I'm not like a drug person. I never smoked weed. I never drank. I didn't do anything at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, fuck it. I'll try a tab of acid.
Go all in.
Yeah, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Oh, boy.
It goes very south from there. But like,
oh, yeah.
So it was Patriots Day. Yeah, it was Patriots Day. So it was 2014, I think. So we did the tab of acid. It started to kick in. At that time, I was like on like a verge of a breakup. So I was in like a terrible mindset.
You were not in the right mindset for that.
Yeah, yeah. No. So like I did half a tab. I was feeling actually pretty good. Then I did the next half because my friends were like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But we stuck with that microdose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But we were walking around just a lake around my near my house in Charlton. And like it ended up being like the day of the Boston bombing.
I remember that.
Enter more bad mindset.
So I was just like looking at my phone. It was like there was different colors. I couldn't even like understand looking at my phone. I see like I loved like the Boston Bruins, so I watch every game. And I saw like, oh, game canceled. I was like, why the fuck would they cancel that?
Yeah.
And then I got a call from my dad. I was like, I can't answer this right now. And he's like, are you in Boston? You better not be in Boston. So I was like, no, I'm not. So like, that's what this song is basically about. That I took acid and then found out the Boston bombing was occurring. So I was like, I thought the world was ending. I thought I was going to die at that very moment.
Yeah. Oh, because it intensified everything.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh, my, I can't do this right now.
I can't life right now.
Well, that was the only time I've ever done it. So it was a terrible trip.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
But it made, yeah, I felt like it was such a cool, now looking back on it, it was like a sick, well, not a sick day because shit happened, but
yeah.
So that's
in your personal life, about. it opened up. I mean, think about it. The LSD did what it was supposed to do. It opened up different avenues in your brain to clearly, you know, start promoting something.
You know how many songs we've gotten, how many albums we've gotten because of LSD?
I know.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
I'm pretty sure Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, you weren't in the greatest mindset, but I guess, yes, it did its job, right?
It did, because it got me thinking, like, shit, life can be very, very short. I don't, like, at that time, like, I didn't really hang out with my parents at all. I was like, I should probably, like, give them more time and just hang out with them as people that I should, because, like, now I'm, like, 30, they're, like, 60. I'm realistically only going to see them maybe, like, 30 more times before they die because I don't see him every week.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, that's what got me thinking.
Well, that's
about
a
this
new
song.
Perspective now. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
Wow. Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. And that was just, it was a very deep song that I personally love because it was a wild day in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, what's great about writing from those personal headspaces is that then when the song actually connects and somebody's like, oh, yeah, that I can relate to that. And you're like, wow, like, okay, so I'm not alone here. Like, you know, in my thought process. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you have a question?
I do. So what was that?
That was the second headset.
Oh, now we're just breaking things. Okay. Living or dead, is there a dream artist that you would like to collaborate with?
Oh, I was thinking about this earlier. There's a few.
Well, rapid fire them. Let's hear it.
Let's see. I would love if it made sense, I would love to do a song with Bon Iver.
Yeah.
I love him. I have like a tattoo of one of his lyrics.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love just like his personality, his lyricism. I love him. I would love to do one with Third Eye Blind because they've just been reinventing in my life now that I forgot about for so long.
And yeah.
I forgot how good their albums are besides just like their top radio hits.
Yeah, like Jumper and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Them. I love the 1975. They're one of my huge influences. Nice. Let's see. There's so many. Like, so many I would love. I guess those are my top three if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how about we just like manifest something like, let me open for Yellow Card?
Yes. That would be beautiful.
Right?
That would be absolutely phenomenal. I've seen them so many times. I saw them on like the when they played with Third Eye Blind, like last year. I went to that tour.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was, what was it, like the summertime tour or whatever.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to that so bad, but it was on like a Tuesday or something random like that. Yep. Yeah. And think about it. Chances are if you open for them, they're probably going to call you out on, like, for one of their songs. Isn't that usually how that works?
Call you out, yeah, or just say like, give it up for the first couple of bands that play
right?
and name you off. So that's cool enough to me. Like, I don't even care. That would just be like a sick accolade to have played with one of my dream artists.
Yeah. I mean, hey, anything is possible. And we had Young Other on who they just randomly, there was a competition going on for like Welcome to Rockville out of Daytona. And they made it all the way there. And then the next thing they were actually opening up for Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
That's another huge influence of mine that I forgot about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything's possible, man.
Because I went to the, I don't know if you've heard of like When We Were Young Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are, every band is what I listen to on that tour. So like.
That's the dream lineup is what that is.
Yes. Like, that's like a high, high goal for me to just even be on something like that.
Sure.
That would be sick.
And networking as a musician, so important. You know, especially in our area, I feel that like there's a lot of networking opportunities in Worcester in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And where, you know, if you are an artist, musician that's, you know, getting his feet wet or, you know, you're trying to push through and get your music out there. I've seen a lot of them network with bigger artists, bigger musicians like, hey, you know what? Come open up for me. You know, come to the show. And then that's how it starts.
Yeah, like, I feel like I need to find that because I feel like I've been closed off from the music scene in Worcester for so long that I just don't even go to the local shows anymore. Like I'll go to like the big shows that I want to go to, but I want to go back to the local shows and find like the actual humble people. Because that's one thing I hate about like social media and stuff. Because like I've heard like a bunch of like sweet bands, upcoming bands, so like. Mm. Hey, maybe I'll reach out to them. Maybe they'll like want to write a song together or like how people used to do like splits. You release a song, I release a song.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like social media has like made people more self-entitled than maybe they should be.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care about how many followers I have. Like if I like you, I'm still going to give you the time of day and like work with you if I think it's like cool and you're a cool guy. But I feel some people just don't care.
But then in the same respect too, it's, you know, all of the likes for some people is such an ego stroke it inflates their brain and
and there's a lot less, I mean there's a lot more focus on like on the individual, but you know you kind of have a lot less opportunity to work with others like you know you have a lot of open mics nowadays which is great for the solo artist, but what about the jam sessions?
Yeah,
just being able to go to a venue, bring your instrument, just open jams, right?
Yeah,
that's cool.
We need more of that around here.
I think so because that's one of my favorite things to do. Just go out and see like local live music, like at a brewery or a bar or something.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite things. But I see less and less of like. Bands, it's just like acoustics.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a place a few years back, it was up in like Goffstown, New Hampshire. It was called The Trestle, and on Sundays they would basically have these open jams where you know, people would just show up, like a guy with a saxophone, a guy with a violin, you know, someone with a keyboard. And then the next thing you know, they're just all up there together taking the body language cues from one another, and they've never met each other in person, and they are just jamming out. It sounds great. Like, oh, I live for stuff like that.
I love that.
So that's kind of like a segment that I kind of want to recreate here at some point.
Get everyone back in and have a giant open jam.
Just pick, you know, like make it an open invite.
Yeah.
You know, have 4 people sign up and just come down and jam.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows, maybe that's how we get you a band.
That would be sweet. I would love to do that.
Right?
Yeah. Like, have like a big, we could do like a musical chairs mixer.
Yeah. Yes.
Where it's just a big networking artist event.
I definitely do want to do that.
That's a sick idea, because I don't see that at all in Worcester. Like,
yeah,
they'll have some of that. They had some of it in like LA for like the big like companies, but you can't do it here. But
yeah,
I would love to do something like that.
Right. Well, speaking of, you know,
what are we speaking about here?
Yeah. Speaking of strokes, no, just kidding. You know, speaking of hallucinogens, so you
have the devil.
That's the devil. Speaking of the devil, so you have another song here called "The Devil and God."
Oh, I do. That I do.
Yeah.
Is that that LSD is a devil?
I feel like one song leads to the other one,
right?
That's the goal. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and fire that up.
Let's give it a listen.
You pointed out everything I hate about myself. It's so sad, like, where's my self-respect? Yeah, must have lost it with all your second chances. Holding on to the past, cause it's all that I have. Leave a kiss on my cheek while I'm shot in the back. Wish you could feel all the pain in my head. I wanna see your face when he fucks with the devil and you see him as a god. I wanna be the pills, I wanna be the drinks that you forcibly take to feel something. I'm holding on to all the wrong things, all the wrong things. I shouldn't miss, no, I shouldn't miss the spell of roses now. Two-faced lane with the Gemini. 3 years I wasted floating in lies. 4 all the scars you left on my health. 5 months I spent trying to find myself. And I write sins, not tragedies. Hope it sings in your head when she's in your bed. Then tell me why it's hard to trust your, hard to trust yourself. I wanna see your face when he fucks with the devil and you see him as a god. I wanna see you drop to the floor. Hope your world caves in. Then you think of me. I'm holding on to all the wrong things, all the wrong things. I shouldn't miss, no, I shouldn't miss the smell of roses now. I miss the wrong things, I miss the wrong things. I miss the way I used to feel when I was broken.
Oh, that's an anthem.
Yeah, I love that song. I love that song so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of us guys out there that can relate to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I tried to make the lyrics a little face level, so it's a little less interpretation.
Yeah. No, definitely. It's it fills that niche for some of our life experiences.
Yes, yes. that one comes from a very personal one.
yeah, same.
Yep. I feel like you've been going through so much lately. You're like, damn.
Yeah, that one hit hard. I mean, I was like, oh man, this is written for me. No, that's what a great song though. I mean, when you write these songs, I know they come from a personal space, but how long does that like process take? Does it just sometimes come to you all at once, or?
Sometimes it does come all at once. Usually it takes me like 3 days to like work out lyrics and all that and melodies. But this one, actually, I think I wrote in like a day because it was like coming, like it was something I was like extremely passionate about. So I'm like, it's just all the right things are coming in. But yeah, I can go behind that song. That song is a wild story as well.
Oh yeah, please. I definitely want to dive in that one.
So that one, it's The Devil and God. Like, I named that one after like a very like good album that I love. It's called The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me by Brand New.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I know they're kind of canceled now, but it has a very big spot in my heart when I was growing up. So I just love that album, but that's why I called it that. But this is about like when I was like 14 to like 21, I was in like the most toxic relationship in my life for so long. And this song, like, I always advocate for like being the bigger person, being the better person. But this side, I just wanted to be like, fuck that. All these like natural feelings you feel like the first couple of days after being like cheated on or something, like everything bad that you want to happen, you want it to happen to them, to make them feel like what they put you through.
Yeah.
So like, that's essentially what this is about. Like, I even put like, I don't know if you caught it, I don't even know who they are, but like I put a Panic at the Disco reference in this.
So much.
Cause I put the, like, I write Sins Not Tragedies. Yeah. Cause that song is about like the groom's bride is a whore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it fits so well. I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm feeling. And this is what I want to happen to you. Like, how could you do this to me? I want you to feel like this brutal emotions that I'm going through.
Yeah.
So this is like the devil part of like those feelings you get when you have a breakup, when it doesn't go like a smooth breakup, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's relatable. I think there's, you know, a lot of us have been in that situation where, you know, you're struggling through a breakup and you're like, the other person better be, you know, going through just the same, but you never know. And it's just, it's cool that you wrote a song about that.
Yeah, I did that. Like, it's not to like shame the other person, but that's like what I was feeling. I'm like, this is what I'm going through. But like at that time, I didn't really know. It was like my first like real relationship. I was am I doing something wrong? Could I ever actually love someone else? This is the only one I could have in my life. So you can't help but like miss them, even though they treated you so poorly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like that's something anybody can relate to. And again, like, think about it. Music is art. Art is an outlet.
Yes, it is.
This is, exactly. Like you said, I hope they weren't feeling this way. Like, maybe they were, I don't know, but that's how you were feeling. And so this was your outlet to get that out. So you know what? Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome.
So that's essentially what that one's about. That one's a little heavier.
Heavier
emotions.
It worked out. It worked out great.
Yeah.
No, I love it, man. So, can you describe any challenges that you've faced as a musician so far?
Challenges. Let's see. Oh, there's many challenges I have. Yeah. Like trying to figure out if I really should be like doubling down on touring and playing live music and getting out there. I know that's like one of the main things you do to be an artist, and that's the one goal I want to have. That's what I want to do. But like, I'm trying to see if it's viable to do. If I do book a whole tour, that's a lot of money for gas, booking shows, paying like a band since I don't have one.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure like it's viable for like my family, because I'm getting older. I'm going to have to like support people eventually. So that's been a huge like roadblock for me. Like, I know I could do it, but it's just getting there. And like, I guess another main point is like that every musician has is getting like ears on your, on your music.
Music. Yeah.
Like a big problem I have is comparing myself to others. I know that's the saying, like,
yeah,
comparison is the kill of all joy or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's a huge like roadblock, or I can't remember the exact word you said, but
yeah, yeah.
But you know what though, also, and that actually goes back to that first song that we listened to, you know, Balance and Composure, where,
yeah,
you know, it's like this expected timeline. So then it's like, now yes, you're comparing yourself to somebody else, but it's like, but they're on their own timeline.
Exactly.
You have your own timeline. Yeah. Like, stop comparing your timeline to theirs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a huge thing. Like, I battle with like every day. It was like, I got to keep reminding myself. Yes. They got huge at like 18. Everyone,
but that's their timeline.
Yes. Everyone has a different timeline. Like,
yeah,
Morgan Freeman got big at 50. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Stop comparing yourself to all these other people. Do what you love and stop caring about what everyone else thinks of you.
Like, right.
If you love it, keep doing it, and your time will come when it's ready.
And there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah.
In that mindset, is it once you break free of doing what you think others think that you should do,
yeah,
and just do what makes you happy, and try to work hard at it so that it can support you.
Yeah.
Like that's a, you know, not only is that a freedom, you know, as a, in a career, you know, having it as a career, but it's also just freedom from your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we're just so trapped in our own minds, you know. Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, there's so many people out there that are so scared to say no.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
They're so scared to say no. They're so scared of letting somebody down, you know, that it's so detrimental. But it's like, once you actually do say like, no, or that's not my freaking problem, or
exactly,
that's it, you know, sorry, I can't help you, a few times, it gets easier to get into that mindset. You know, it's basically the same thing.
Yes, it is. It's everyone wants to like people please and put their own selves on the back burner when,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be selfish for doing that.
Hey, remember, you got to put your own oxygen mask on before assisting others.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's true. Okay. So we talked about some challenges, but we also talked about, you know, wanting to do this more full time. How has the balance been as far as your music career with your personal life? How have you been able to navigate that?
It's usually, I work on music probably more than I should. My wife gets annoyed about that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cause like I'm not full-time musician. So I have like my day job that I have to do.
Right.
Luckily, like it's work from home. So like on the, my side free time, I can like do small things for music and stuff, like fulfill orders or whatnot. But I'm like trying my hardest this year to just do everything I can to market myself. So like I'm working as soon as I get off like my actual job at 5, I'm like, well, I work like 5 to 10 on my music stuff.
Oh, I feel that.
So like, I want to like get as much as I can done at once, which is going to hopefully make this exponentially quicker.
Right.
So that's the goal. But like, usually my time off is like weekends like this. I'll just need to take a mental break. Don't think about creating, writing new music.
That like, must be hard.
It is.
Yeah, right. It is. Exactly.
But like, the way I feel, like sometimes if I work way too much, like I'll lose my creativity and like I can't think of lyrics. I can't like think of music. I'm like,
burnout's a thing.
Yeah,
it really is.
I'm getting too far into like the marketing and worrying about all this different stuff. So I try to like stay focused on one thing, be good at one thing before I move on. And then my time off is like extremely critical, so I don't like burn myself out and like push away others.
Sure.
Yeah, you still need to, you know, find time to make for your family, and and it's that also to just recharge.
Yeah,
you know, and because once you recharge, that's when that the creative juices start coming out again.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that. I mean, if you don't give yourself time to rest, your body will make you. Rest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it usually results in burning yourself out down to the point where you're like getting sick and you're exhausted, and then that's no fun for anybody, or, you know, but yeah, you need to, or your body will force you to. Yep.
And that's how you get the Peppermint Patty voice. You know, it's the same here. Like, you know, Nikki and I, we work full-time jobs and still produce the show here that all you guys are watching and listening to. But you have to find balance. You have to, you have to have that recharge time. Otherwise, you know, the quality of everything drops.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah. That's
all a around. Big
point. Yeah. So we are nearing the end.
We are.
But I think we have enough time for
one more song.
For one more song.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. What do we have for the, we have Blackout Mix.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to talk about this a little bit first and then we can get into it?
Yeah, sure. This is another story too. So like back when I was like freshly turning 21, like usually any college person goes, they start getting into like drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was like a big thing for me. I'd go with my friends like all the time through college, like Thursday to Sunday. And like, I guess it was probably turning into a problem at that point. But like, I would just like go.
Bendering? What?
Yes. I was doing a lot of benders. It started going like Wednesday to Sunday. Like I would do my work somehow, and then I would meet up with my friends right after work at 5, and then drink from like 5 to 2 a.m.
Oh, oof. Wow,
dude, it was rough, and like it definitely caused a toll on my mental health. Like I had to go and get diagnosed, go for like depression and all that.
Yeah,
so I brought through all of that, but this song is basically about like that whole process of like just trying to fill the void of like whatever I was going through with drinking, because it made me forget for that time.
Yeah.
And then waking up and being like so disgusted with my life, like why am I doing this to myself? Why am
I'm such
I,
a
like,
degenerate?
Yeah, like I'm like hurting people I love. I could potentially hurt someone if I drive.
So right.
That's what this song is about. Like,
it's amazing.
Terrible mental health and decisions I made in my early 20s that. I don't know.
It's amazing that you wrote a song about that, because there's so many people out there right now that are in that situation who are trying to fill that void.
Yeah,
sure.
I like really like it because I know it's like almost embarrassing to talk about. It's like hard to talk about. Like that's something you would talk about, I feel like, in therapy. That's probably why you don't hear like a lot of these songs out there.
Right.
Which, sure. And they probably don't get the popularity because.
Well, think about it. There's such a stigma around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the topic. And then even mental health in general for the longest time was such a stigmatized thing. And now it's like people brag that they take Prozac. But before, like, they were like, I'm not telling anybody that I'm on meds for my brain. You know, it's.
Yeah.
I feel like it's becoming more of a. The topic is becoming more to light.
That's what I like. That's like one of my main goals through like music. Is like mental health awareness, because like
you're not alone.
It caused like a huge like problem in my life where like I didn't know what was wrong with me. I would like wake up and like I ended up finding out it was like called like derealization or something.
Okay,
so that's like,
well, think about it. You're dissociating basically for 4 days straight.
Yes. So like I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like essentially. Yeah, like dissociating and not feeling like you're in your body, like you're floating above it, just watching it through the steps. And like, I went to like 6 doctors and they had no idea. So I was like, how is this that hard to figure out?
Yeah.
And then like, I ended up going to a psychiatrist and they're like, oh, I know exactly what you're going through. And you just
because mental health is, you know, just a chapter in the doctor's textbook. Yeah, you know, you need to go to somebody that actually specializes in
it. Yeah,
yeah.
But it was like a 2-year thing where I like felt like a zombie. And like, it was physically hard to get out of bed.
It's like a constant brain fog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
wow,
that's what this song is. It's a little deep song, but that's what it's about.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
We'll be right back. wish I could take back the night spent in your bed. I push away the ones I love the most. Wish I could tell you I'm sorry, I'm unstable. Can someone help me? I'm so sick of being numb. Lost my life at 21. Will I ever be enough for the ones that love? I'm 10 drinks deeper than the feet I dug myself to rest in peace. I'm so alone. I'm so alone. I drink that red label.
Wow. So this song definitely has a totally different feel from like the others that we listened to.
Yeah.
It's more like poppy, like 90s kind of poppy feel. And, you know, it sounds so lighthearted. And then you hear the lyrics and you're like, wow, this is a lot of mixed emotions going on here.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome that you wrote about that, because it's like you said, not many people are writing those kind of lyrics.
Yeah.
About, you know, the struggles that the dark struggles that we face.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you know, there's some songs out there that do that. They have like the upbeat, sound, but have the dark lyrics. And those are the ones that really connect with people.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's the one, I think that's going to be the one that people are going to really connect to, when they hear it.
Definitely. I mean, what was the inspiration behind like, just the music in that, because it's so different from the sounds that, you know, we were hearing before.
Yeah, I think, again, like, I was probably listening to more darker anthems. Like, what was I listening to?
Like, it's got more of a poppy sound versus, like, the guitars that we had before.
Yeah, yeah. Back, so I was doing more, like, indie pop back in the day.
Yeah.
And, like, I think this was one of the first songs where I was like, hey, I think I want to try something a little harder, a little heavier, and go back to, like, the roots, because I feel like that's where like I get my emotion from. So I think that I was probably listening to like Balancing Composure a lot, or Taking Back Sunday, and I was like, I feel like this song needs heavy guitars, but like still make it pretty with the synths, and mix the emotions. And that's kind of like When I hear the song, that's how like I figure out what vibe I want for the lyrics and how it to like manifest in someone's ears.
Sure.
So I was like, yeah, this is definitely something that I want to be more relatable and like maybe hard hitting than.
So it's actually hearing the music first that sparks the writing creativity for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the lyrics, at least, for the the actual like instrumentals, it kind of depends like how I'm feeling that day. Sure. I'm like, maybe we'll go for this style, maybe we'll go for that.
Yeah.
And then usually like it almost never comes out like you expect. Like I'll be like, hey, let's write a nice, cool pop rock, happy, upbeat song. And then we'll start with a riff and it just kind of evolves from there. And then we're like, it changes into something completely different. And I'm like, I think this is a much better outcome.
Sure.
It's just, it's all, the creative process is like different every single time, which is what I love about it.
Yeah.
You're never going to get what you expect.
And it's cool too. Cause like you can really separate, those people are like who just listen to the melody versus who listen to the lyrics. Like, yeah. Oh, I love that, Blackout Mix song is so upbeat, and then you're like,
yeah, can you tell me what it's about?
Can you tell me what's, you know? Yeah. But then the people that are like, wow, that was a really powerful song. Like I can relate to that, you know. And then that's what it's about. It's about making that connection.
Yeah,
that's always what it's been like to me. Like the lyrics are what I really listen to first, because like I like to relate to the music. And then if like I love like little drops. Like where you have like something very relatable and it goes into like a hard hitting drop. Like, I don't know, something like that just like gives me the chills. It's what I love about music.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what.
Cause you're connecting to it at all levels at this point. Not only are you feeling it, you know, emotionally with the lyrics, but then like physically with those drops.
That's
it's
why
a full body experience.
Exactly. That's why I love like live shows, because you can feel that rumble of the bass.
Yeah.
And it just makes it.
You just stand there and just shut your eyes and just like take it all in. And it's the greatest feeling ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Speaking of connecting with people, because we are nearing the end here, where can everyone find you?
I am everywhere. So I have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. It's all the same username, Hazel Bloom Music.
Okay.
That I have my website, which is just hazelbloomofficial.com.
Which is nicely done, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's all set up for like my little, I call it Club Emotion. That's a whole nother story.
Hey, that's the community,
Yeah, I call it Club Emotion. If you go in there, like that's the community where I want to connect with everyone personally.
Yeah.
It's a whole, like, there's a cool story behind it that I have as a video when you go in and it'll talk about it. But that's where you can find me. That's like the most intimate place. And that's where I put like all my upcoming releases that no one has access to. So you get access to like cool little extra things, behind the scenes stuff.
Very cool.
That's mostly everything. TikTok, YouTube, it's all the same. Hazel Bloom Music, Spotify, Hazel Bloom, and wherever you listen to music is I'm there.
And with this episode dropping at the end of the March, do you have any new songs or anything that you're working on releasing around that time? Or
I do, actually. I actually just released an album yesterday.
Ooh.
So that was
good timing.
Yes. I released one yesterday.
Did you plan that?
I did not, actually. But then,
because we booked this a long time ago.
Yeah, we did.
Actually, I probably did look into that. And like, I didn't know it at the time, like back in August.
Right.
And then I was just like, oh yeah, that could be cool. But yeah, I just released an album today yesterday, sorry.
Yep.
But I'm working on that. My next release, I'm going to hope for around March, is going to be that AOL Love Songs project I was talking about.
Yeah.
Nice nostalgic back to the early 2000s type feel.
Love it.
Nice. Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody knows where to find us. We are on all the major streaming platforms. We are also on Facebook and on YouTube as well. So definitely make sure that you are giving us a like and a follow and, you know, share what you like as well, because not only does it help us, but ultimately really helps the musicians that we have on the show for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, guys, and then thank you, you know, for tuning in and watching these episodes. Like I said, it helps our musicians so much. And, you know, we all are appreciative of it. So make sure you keep watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Hazel. This has been like...
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, I can't thank you guys enough for just reaching out and having me on here. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So thank you. This is sweet.
And we're going to be mad. We're going to be rooting for you.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so expecting to see you out there.
Yeah.
Oh, with a full band.
Big things are going to happen.
It's going to happen. I'm getting the full band, and then I'm going to be coming back.
Yes.
If I'm allowed.
Oh, of course. You are.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you are.
Play the full set or however many songs you allow.
Oh, my God. Yes. Seriously.
Dude, I love things like this. Like, again, I can't thank you guys enough. This is amazing.
So much fun.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap this up now. This has been another episode of the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
The Musical Chairs in Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.